In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, we read that our Lord sent out the 72 disciples, two by two, out into the world. But he instructs them very carefully that they're not supposed to take anything with them of this world. They're not to rely upon money. They're not going to take a purse or a staff or two cloaks. They're not supposed to worry about taking any of those things. No need to pack a bag. Just go. God will take care of you. Whatever house you enter, they will provide for whatever you need. And God has arranged it so for his ministers not to have to worry, not to be concerned of the things of this earth. Elsewhere he tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be given you besides. Go and do the job that God has given you to do. But what is the job of these 72 disciples? They're supposed to go and prepare the way for Christ's coming, to announce to the people, it's time to straighten up. They're supposed to fall into the steps of St. John the Baptist. But when they enter into someone's house or someone invites them into their house, their first words are supposed to be, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, he will receive that peace. If it is not, then their peace will return to them. And they can go on and find some other place. But if they find a place where they can reside, where the peace of God is dwelling, they're supposed to remain there. Now remember, these disciples have taken nothing with them, but yet they're supposed to give. They're supposed to heal the sick, to forgive the sins. They're supposed to lift these people up. They go there expecting that these people will take care of their body, and they in turn are coming to take care of the people in the home's soul. And this, not only the home, but the city, the towns, the environment. They are bringing the riches of God. And in doing so, they can safely expect to receive the material need of their body. Whatever it is their bodies need, it'll be taken care of. Don't worry about it. And if it's not, don't worry about that either. It's okay. It's okay if you're shivering cold under a bridge. Our Lord was stripped naked before he was crucified. He suffered cold. He suffered hunger. And he says his disciple, the disciple's not better than the master, are they? The disciples must be like the master. And so when Jesus suffers, we have to suffer. When Jesus goes forth to preach, we should go forth to preach. And our Lord says, don't worry. Don't worry about the chickens. They'll still be there after Mass, right? And we'll have plenty of food to feed them. God has provided everything we need for them. And we get to play with them, and they give Sister a bunch of eggs. God has taken care of us. And he will continue taking care of us. But what is missing in the world are these laborers, these disciples of Christ. And so our Lord, in the beginning of today's gospel, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The tomato harvest is great, sister. It's overwhelming, she tells me. We just need a few more sisters to help harvest the tomatoes. And what I find the most beautiful thing is, we didn't plant any tomatoes this year. And God has given us more tomatoes than we even wanted or planned upon, but now we've got them. Somehow they magically sprang up from last year. Many more times than what we had before. But God is good. So we must pray to the Lord of the harvest, not to send us fewer tomatoes, but to send us more sisters to eat them. We're not going to run short of food, at least tomatoes, or butternut squash. We got plenty of that. We have eggs. What is missing in the world? It's not food. Even though people are going hungry, there's not a shortage of food. There's plenty of food. As one man told me, he says, it's not a shortage of food. The problem isn't the production. The problem is distribution. It's getting it out to the people. We waste so much food because it's in the wrong place, in the wrong hands. There's too much of it in one place and not enough in another. But it seems to me there's a universal scarcity of virtue. Christ is coming. He's here. And the world doesn't care. And you say, but what should I do? Well, first of all, we must all pray for the Lord of the harvest. We need priests. We need religious. We must pray. And then we have to do our part because we are all disciples. We must live the life of grace. We must have that confidence in Christ, in our Heavenly Father, that He will take care of everything. Be at peace. If there's not peace in our home, then there's a problem. And it's not a lack of food, it's not a lack of money, it's not a lack of anything. What it is a lack of is trust in God. It's a lack of virtue. It's a lack of grace. And that is easily remedied if we will only pray to the Lord of the harvest. Give us your peace. But I ask you to do more than ask God to give you peace. I ask you to imitate St. Francis of Assisi in that peace prayer. Lord, make me the instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is it? Where there is darkness, light.
Despair.
Where there is despair, hope. Where there is death, there is eternal life. Lord, make each one of us that instrument of peace. Let us wish peace upon one another. It sounds very archaic, peace be with you, peace be to you. Very religious, though. Fits right in with the Mass. Fits right in with us being Catholic. To wish someone peace, you're wishing for them to have everything else besides. That is the greatest gift. And there's a children's story about a king one time. He was interested. Are you listening, Anders? There was a king one time, very rich. You know what a king is, don't you? Wears a big crown, has lots of jewels, gold, and he's got servants everywhere. The king wanted to know, who's the happiest person in my whole kingdom, in the whole world? Who's the happiest? And he thought it would be himself, right? Who could be happier than the king? He has everybody doing what he wants. So the king called all the wise men and said, you know, I need you to figure out who is the happiest man in my kingdom. And he thought it would be himself. And the wise men went and they studied and they looked around. And the wise man came to the king and says, oh, king, you asked me who the happiest person in your kingdom is? And he says, come to the window, king. You see the poor man out there laying next to the trash, sleeping in rags? That poor man is the happiest man in your kingdom. Oh, you must be a fool. You're not a wise man. How can that poor man there in rags, sleeping on the ground, be happier than me? And the wise man says to the king, king, see how soundly that man sleeps? He doesn't worry whether anybody is going to kill him. whether anyone is going to steal his riches from him. He's not worried about anything. He lays down to sleep, closes his eyes, and dozes right off to sleep. But you, dear king, when was the last time you had a good night's sleep? You lay awake thinking if someone in the kingdom is plotting against you, if someone is going to steal from you. You worry about civil unrest in your people. You've got many cares. And so peace is far from you. And consequently, when peace is far from you, you're not really happy. When you can let go of all of these cares and have peace, then you can have happiness. And perhaps for the little more mature than Anders, we can discuss what's the difference between happiness and pleasure. There is a big difference, and the devil often confuses those things for us and says, oh, this pleasure will be, you get this and you'll be happy. The advertisers do it all the time. I'm completely entertained by all the commercials. They're better than the shows sometimes. People really buy this stuff? They really believe this? Get this product, it's new and improved, and it will take care of everything. All your worries will be gone. This will make you happy. This will give you pleasure. Yeah, pleasure. And then you wake up the next morning and think, oh, I have a hangover? That pleasure wasn't worth it. That wasn't happiness. That was a momentary, fleeting pleasure. True happiness is lasting. True happiness exists even in the midst of pain. In the midst of suffering, there can be true happiness. And I would tell you that happiness is a choice. You can choose to be happy, but it's actually a little bit more than a choice. I once saw on social media this cute little image. Had a little boy who won first place, you know, he's holding up his sign, he came in first place, and the little boy next to him had a second place, and I think there was a little girl next, and she had third place, and they're on elevated platforms, and the one up in first place, he is upset about something. This little boy, you can see it in his face, he's not happy. And the one who came in second, he's holding his number two sign, he's in second level, and he is just beaming. And the caption is, happiness is a choice. You can come in second, you can come in third, you can come in last and still be happy. Hey, I ran the race. Or if you're old enough, you can say, hey, I got out of bed this morning. It's a good day. I'm not 6 feet under. It's cause for rejoicing. And if I've got pains, it means I'm still alive. I'm still here. It's good. God is good. He's still in heaven. He's given me this day. And it is cause for me to truly rejoice, to be happy. That happiness is something that isn't momentary, it's not fleeting, but it is something that resides in the depths of our soul and accompanies us when we go to bed, when we get up in the morning. And it is necessary to have a little bit of trust in God. But if we're seeking to give that peace, and we wish peace to all those around us, we will soon discover that we truly have it ourselves. It doesn't matter that the tire has gone flat. I have AAA. I don't have to worry about getting my habit ready. And I have a cell phone, so it's really convenient. I just call and say, okay. But I do try to make sure that the spare is inflated. We should be at peace. We should be comfortable. If I have a headache, God has sent a headache, I can take a few aspirin, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it won't. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It's all good. Let's be happy. But you're in pain. How can you be happy? Well, in this case, there is a sense of choosing. I choose to be happy. I choose to rejoice. God has seen fit to give me this pain so that I can follow him to Calvary. And I unite my suffering, my pain, with his. And if you think your migraine is bad, think about those thorns piercing your skull. It's nothing. We can put up with it. Be at peace. And bring this peace to the world around you, to those in your home, in your neighborhood. It's a very difficult thing in the world today, but it can be done. Christ is here. He wishes to save souls, not just you and me, but everyone. We're all created in his image and likeness. And I look, you know, to this false church and the false pope. He put out this encyclical. It sounds very great. Brothers all. But when I start reading about liberty, fraternity, and what was the other one? That, you know, the French Revolution. Sounds pretty Masonic. We should be at peace with everyone. Forget your philosophies and your theories. Forget your religion. Set all of that aside and recognize that we're all children of Mother Earth. Take care of the environment. Take care of each other. Like, oh yeah. That seems to go in the face of what Christ said. And this man had the audacity to point to St. Francis of Assisi. You see, he went to the head of the Muslims because they were his brothers. He loved them. And he went there to serve them. No, he didn't. He went there to convert them. He was ready to convert them or die trying. He went there, he did love them. He did recognize that they were his brothers because they were created by the same God in heaven. But he also understood that our Lord said, go forth and preach my gospel to all people, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Those who believe and baptize will be saved. So I'm sure this St. Francis went to these Muslims and said, unless you accept Jesus Christ, you're all going to hell. St. Francis walked away with his life because I think God intervened. He challenged the Muslims. Get your priest or whatever. Bring him here. Let's put up a big fire and we'll both walk through it. I'll walk through it and you get your holy men to walk through it. And we'll see whose God is right. Of course, they backed down and wouldn't do it. They wouldn't build the fire. Please, go away, man, old man, young man. You bother us. But he didn't go there ignoring faith, ignoring religion. He went there specifically because of religion. It wasn't some kind of naturalistic love of all creation. St. Francis isn't this naturalist, humanist. He is a lover of Christ, and he loved all that God has made because he loved Christ. God came first with St. Francis, and then he loved his fellow man as he loved himself, even the Muslim. And because he loved the Muslim, he wanted to bring Christ to the Muslim. He wanted to save the Muslim's soul. He wanted to bring peace to the Muslim. He didn't go there to ignore Christ. To deny Christ. He didn't want there to unite under some kind of false pleasure. We can all have a big party and forget all our differences and get along. No, St. Francis wanted true and lasting happiness for those men, for himself. And yes, it comes from peace, but peace doesn't come from denying Christ. You can get pleasure from denying Christ. Ask anyone who's fallen into sin, a momentary pleasure. but you can't get peace from denying Christ. And this false church with their false pope promoting world peace under the guise of setting up some kind of non-denominational universal church, some one world government, some one world religion, they're fools. Drunken fools. Their intoxication may provide them momentary pleasure, but it is not real and lasting happiness. And in our own practical lives, our own personal lives, we must strive not for this passing pleasure, but for true and lasting happiness. And that comes from peace. Our prayer when we enter our home should be, peace be to this home. We should bless our homes, asking God to protect them, calling upon our guardian angels to watch over not only us and our home, but our property, but all who enter there. This will bring us peace. Not the new car, not the home improvement, not the latest toy or gadget, not a T-bone steak dinner. All of that is a momentary pleasure. It's all indifferent. True happiness, true peace is when we love God and we're not concerned about these other things. It can be ours. Benedictio Deo omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen. Amen.